Jake has been interested in the topic of psychedelics and their relationship with the religious experience for some time now. I asked him the question, what is the exact nature of this relationship? Today, we begin a conversation on this subject.
Some people think that psychedelics and the religious experience is a taboo subject. I think they're wrong. Welcome to the I Think You're Wrong podcast. I'm Jake Lichtel.
And I'm Sebastian Waldron. Today, we're discussing psychedelics and their potential use for the religious experience. All right, Jake. So we're talking about drugs today.
I am a pharmacy tech. So.
That's right. That's right. So let's get right into the topic. Jake, tell us a little bit about your interest in drugs, psychedelics, and their relationship with the religious experience.
Sure. So I think a lot of my interest in some of these fields came out of, well, it comes out of a convergence of maybe three different things. My libertarian politics is one of them. I believe
we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. That's going to be a separate podcast.
I think you're wrong.
That's okay. And so some of my political philosophy around, you know, what I believe the government should be able to regulate, and what I think we own our own bodies, so we should be able to put compounds in our bodies. It also comes out of I'm a Pentecostal. And so I've had mystical experiences. I mean, I've had legitimate textbook, what you could call a mystical encounter. And it also came out of a time of deconstruction and really searching out some of just asking a lot of questions and then discovering, you know, Johns Hopkins, a number of other research institutes are testing psilocybin, which is the psychoactive compound in magic mushrooms. They're testing LSD. They're testing MDMA, which is the psychoactive compound in ecstasy, for therapeutic use. And so it came to this place originally from, oh, like there's some actual benefit here in the scientific community that they're recognizing this. And it was the convergence of all three of these things that started making me ask the questions of, are these legitimate for religious experiences? And are people, when they claim to have one, are these something that we should be taking seriously?
Okay, so let's back up for a minute even more.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask you a little bit about the genesis of, even before you started becoming informed about this topic, what made you curious about this topic in the first place?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think I have a specific moment or line in the sand to say, that was it, but it might have been when marijuana got legalized in California and I was kind of confronted with the reality of, marijuana, which is a psychoactive substance with THC, and it, you know, changes your consciousness, which is the argument that I heard from a lot of people growing up. Like, there were two arguments if you kind of were in church at any time in your life, and I kind of grew up in and out of church. You know, alcohol is okay because you can have a little bit and not be drunk.
Right.
But if you smoke marijuana, you're high and your conscience is altered.
Yeah.
And so people would always be like, well, number one, it's illegal.
Right.
So we can't break the law because we're Christians, and that's, you know, obey the state. And the second one was this idea that we should be sober minded, which I think is legitimate. And so kind of being confronted with that idea, I had to then go back to the drawing board and ask myself, okay, in a new world where marijuana is legalized, what is my response as a believer, as someone that's religious and has some of these beliefs?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's a good segue. I'm curious, where's the thread between religious experience and psychedelics?
Sure. I think the thread comes from this came out of my research when I was looking into the therapeutic uses of these compounds, and their use in smoking cessation is one. They're using MDMA in psychotherapy sessions, so it's MDMA assisted psychotherapy, and LSD, a number of these other compounds. But the results, so like for smoking cessation, they had an 80% smoking cessation after like 6 months or a year after one psilocybin mushroom trip. But the people that had the benefit, of this smoking cessation came out of the transcendent experience. Mm. If the patient didn't have a transcendent experience, they didn't receive the benefit. And so it made me wonder. This is a reliable way to medically induce what we would call a religious transcendent experience. What does that mean then for religion?
Mm. And so you're still asking yourself that question.
Oh, 100%.
What that means for religion.
Yeah, it's a live issue in my life. It's something that I'm deeply interested in and exploring, especially because I think it's probably one of the oldest religious traditions in the world. I mean, we trace it back to shamanism in the use of some of these compounds.
Hmm. Okay. So let's talk about not just specifically Christianity,
yeah,
but other religions too. And so you said we trace it all the way back to shamanism. In what ways have all the great world religions, practiced psychedelic use or drug use as a part of the experience, or have, you know, mystics who haven't necessarily used anything had the same kind of experience that people who, use psychedelic drugs
sure.
have? And what does this say in our modern age
sure.
today?
So the interesting thing, and it actually came out of a book I was reading called Sacred Knowledge, Psychedelics and Religious Experience, written by William Richards. He actually participated in the what's known as the Good Friday study. I believe it was in the 60s. They gave a bunch of divinity students, actually, magic mushrooms okay. and sent them to the Good Friday service. So, you know, we just had Easter a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine a bunch of Duke students tripping balls on.
No.
It might have been a little bit of a different conversation. But in his book, he has a very interesting... He has a very interesting dialogue with pulling text from the Islamic tradition, the Hindu tradition, the Buddhist tradition, the Christian tradition. And he's giving these frames of people having what we would call the mystics, right? Mm. And their language around the divine. And as I'm reading it, I recognize that the language breaks down, and he even makes this comment that the language of transcendence, when you get into these different traditions of religious experience, the language breaks down and you can't tell them apart. That same thing happens when people ingest, whether it's mushrooms or LSD or DMT, whatever compound you're ingesting that is psychoactive.
Even if they're not looking for a religious experience.
So I think set and setting are very important. This is why you had a lot of people in the 60s that were dropping acid and didn't have religious experience.
Yeah.
I think it's really important what your goal is.
Right.
What the what you want to do with it. Of course, I think sometimes God can just break in. One of my favorite, again, this is kind of a charismatic person of the 60s of the Jesus People movement, which is a Christian movement in the 60s and 70s. His name was Lonnie Frisbee. He was a hippie evangelist. And he was in the desert dropping acid, and he had an encounter with Jesus.
Okay.
And that's how he gets saved. Right? So he meets Jesus in the desert, tripping balls on acid, and became the hippie evangelist of Calvary Chapel, led 1 million people to Jesus, according to the numbers and all of this.
Right.
But kind of an interesting, weird interlude to, so some people do have these encounters, whether or not the setting was appropriate.
Yeah. So, going off that, let's talk about this relationship between people who aren't looking mm-hmm. for this experience, but still have it,
mm-hmm.
and then people who are looking and just are. So, if say, an atheist has this experience, and the same, brain activity that's going on with a mystic or someone mm-hmm. who's... having an encounter, speaking in tongues at
sure.
a charismatic church, is that same brain activity is going on in both of them. Is this new? I don't want to say new evidence, but is this is this to you as a Pentecostal Christian an argument for a divine, transcendent, ineffable experience that you know, we call God today, but can be defined in a lot of different ways?
Well, so I mean, what's really fascinating is there are many different ways that different traditions have gotten to mystical experiences. In the Christian tradition, you have the ascetics, you have the desert fathers, you have the monks. Mm-hmm. A lot of people fast. This is kind of a common thread. A lot of people meditate.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Buddhist monks that are meditating for hours on end. Maybe they're doing visualization. And I think, as far as I understand the science behind it, they're tapping into, or they're shutting off the default mode network of their brains, which basically allow them to remove that narrative of self and kind of get away from the ego, maybe is a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And kind of detaching themselves. And then just being able to explore these different realms of consciousness, maybe an altered state of consciousness. And so what happens when like people take some of these compounds? They're having these religious experiences, but it's biochemical, right? So I think if we believe God made an ordered universe, so I mean this is kind of a very fundamentalist, evangelical, maybe natural law theology, right?
Yeah.
God made an ordered universe. It's rational. We can therefore discover the way God made it. That's the basis of science.
Right.
So if that's the case, then it's entirely in the realm of possibility to be able to track people's experience of the divine as they're, you know, in the biochemical realm.
Right.
You know, I mean, I it's difficult for me because I want to go, there's a Holy Spirit out there that's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes me a little uncomfortable, but I'm okay with that.
So I guess that leads to another question I have of defining, I guess, what we mean by, I want to define everything, a philosophy major, but what we mean by religious or spiritual experience.
Sure.
You know, well, go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, for this conversation, I think we should probably use the definition for transcendent experience given by William James. He was a philosopher in the beginning of the 20th century. He studied philosophy of religion.
Yeah.
And he had essentially four markers.
Psychologist too, right?
I believe so. I think he delved into some of psychology as well and just human thought.
Yeah.
But he had four markers for what a transcendent experience could be categorized as, and this is whether you're religious or you're taking a psychedelic. The experience, number one, is ineffable, meaning people that have these experiences have a difficult time conveying them to other people.
Right.
The experience is noetic. People have a sense that they learned something from the experience. These profound truths that they wouldn't have been able to get any other way. The experience is transient. It's only for a short moment, but its effects last after the fact. I think that's definitely a very strong marker of these types of experiences. And it's a passive experience, number four. People that have these mystical experiences, they're not necessarily always seeking that experience out. It just happens to them.
Yeah.
And you see that again and again.
So it makes me think, so when we define religious experience, I would say that transcendent, ineffable experience is an experience that we all have with something greater than ourselves,
mm-hmm.
whether we subscribe to a religion as truth mm-hmm. or not. And then I would say that religion is a way to convey that experience, right?
Sure.
To put words and explain what that experience is.
Sure.
So do you have anything to say about that?
I think the religion that we come into, whether you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're a Buddhist, it's the grammar we use to then mark our experiences.
Yeah.
right? So if you're a modern person and you have this transcendent experience, and I have friends that have had these types of moments, whether or not they believe in God, maybe they took a compound or not, but, and I've heard people discuss this on different podcasts and different lectures I've listened to. There's something significant, and that just, it shifts the very...
Yeah, right. So what does this say about mainstream
religious
tradition or religious experience? You know, because like I said, everybody has their own kind of personal connection with something that's greater than ourselves, whatever that is. And a lot of people use religion to express that in community together. But most people don't have the type of experiences that you're describing. The majority of religious people.
So you talked about transcendent experiences.
Transcendent, that experience that William James
is describing. About that,
It only happens for a second, but it's life altering.
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself a religious person. Mm-hmm. I can't say I've ever had quite an experience like that.
Okay.
Right. So what does that say? Well, I guess I'll ask you two questions then. Have you? And what does that say for the rest of us as religious believers? And then I guess how do we kind of wind back and tie this back to this? We keep trying to get to this, but to the connection and similarities between using psychedelics for religious purposes to better connect with that ineffable feeling.
Sure. So number one, you asked if I've had those types of experiences.
Yeah,
so I've had a number of occasions where they're textbook mystical experiences.
I'm a Catholic, so we don't have those experiences.
Oh, 100% you do. Have you read the Catholic mystics? Have you read your own tradition?
I know.
Just going to give you a hard time. But there have been moments, and I'm sure we'll get into this at another time, but the reason I came to faith is by a mystical experience.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, in the traditional Christian sense, at least in 21st century evangelicalism, there's an altar call. You know, there's the gospel is presented, and then people are asked to pray the sinner's prayer.
Right.
You know, repenting for your sins, that whole thing. When I would consider myself becoming a Christian and getting saved in that language, in that grammar of Christian faith and religion, I didn't say a prayer. It wasn't someone calling me out and saying, come and follow Jesus. It was a moment of knowing and understanding in myself the divine was real.
Mm.
It was a connection with something outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what drew me into Christian faith. So later on when I deconstructed my faith and attempted to rationalize everything away, what I was left with was these ineffable experiences that I've had through the last 8 or 9 years that they don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're experiences that are euphoric in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably call them akin to sometimes feeling a little high.
And these are the experiences that you're talking about that people experience,
mm-hmm.
that their brain activity has when they're tripping on psychedelics.
Yeah, when people ingest those compounds, it's the most reliable way to induce those transcendent experiences.
Right. Okay. So I guess... I'm trying to find this connection,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering if you had this experience, mm-hmm. independent.
Yeah. So I'm not.
Of using anything.
Absolutely. I think people can have those independent of without using something external.
Right. So does that say? So what does that say about the religious experience for most people? Are we just doing it wrong?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So I wouldn't And I don't know what the science is behind this, but my intuition says there are probably certain people that are biologically hardwired towards being more open to external experiences like that. And again, I'm a divinity student, not a psychology major.
Right.
But from what I understand, I think there's just certain people biologically that are just hardwired towards mm-hmm. feeling this connection to mm-hmm. all living things. I mean, we all know those people that are just kind of like, maybe not hippy dippy, but like they just love nature and they just feel really connected with everything. And just like we all have that friend, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it made me wonder, it made me think, like, are certain people just biologically hardwired to have yeah. these types of experiences? I mean, what do you think about that? Is that something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the biology or neuroscience behind that. But it makes me wonder, are people who are using drugs and then have that experience, is that just the experience that some people are already hardwired to have?
Perhaps.
Yeah. And is that the relationship that we could? I guess what I'm teasing out, I keep getting at, is how can we, if at all, use psychedelics mm-hmm. to enhance the experience of this ineffable, transcendent experience we have with God.
So I think that's something that I'm trying to tease out myself. I don't have an easy answer for that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm really interested in is figuring out, you know, again, learning some of the science behind some of those things. I think first and foremost, it would be backing up and saying, okay, using these compounds in a medical setting is appropriate.
Right.
So if we can grant that, because I know a lot of Christians and just conservative religious folks, they're uncomfortable with the idea, especially in the West. It's an uncomfortable idea to have these altered states of consciousness.
Yeah. So, well, keep going, and then I'll ask you. Yeah.
You know, we in the West, I think the last time we had a real, I don't want to call it a resurgence, but like people that really understood psychedelics in the Western tradition was like Socrates, maybe third mm-hmm. century BC, maybe I don't know, maybe it was third century AD. Not Socrates, but some of these Greeks and Romans and different places that were using different compounds, I think there is evidence that Socrates was probably taking something.
There's been certain
to come to some sort of ideas.
Studies, I think, yeah.
But I guess I'm just again curious if you can grant the medical use, which I think most of us can, like. People, they're using psilocybin mushrooms for depression, and they're seeing really amazing results for people that have incurable, medicine-resistant depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and as someone who really cares about people, and if we really care about mental health in this country, we should want to help those people, even if the way that they get there is uncomfortable for us.
Sure.
So if we can grant that, then maybe we can grant the spiritual thing, right? So that's a next jump. That's another jump.
Okay. So what are some of the consequences of using just to play devil's advocate?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the show's called I Think You're Wrong. I'm not sure if you're wrong, because we're both, you're not sure if you're wrong.
Or yeah, right. Yeah.
We're kind of teasing this out together. But what are some potential consequences?
Mm-hmm.
Of using psychedelics for the religious experience, and what would you say to people who you sort of just addressed it, but what would you say to people who are so skeptical that they would never want to mm-hmm. allow this to come into the mainstream religious culture?
So I think there are deep risks that you're taking when you do any type of activity. Right. And so I think each individual person has to navigate some of those risks themselves. Right. And some of the risks that are involved with taking a psychoactive compound are if you have mental illness in your family, you probably shouldn't be taking them,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I am not advocating in any way for people to go out and drop acid or take mushrooms just for the heck of it.
Sure.
I believe, you know, at least at this moment, I think probably the best course of action, and I hope we get more of this study involved, you'd do it with a medical professional.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the case of psychotherapy assisted with MDMA, that's under the care of a professional.
Mm-hmm.
The studies they're doing at Johns Hopkins, and I think they did one in New Mexico with DMT in the 90s. It was early 2000s. These were all under medical care. So yeah. They had doctors, they had psychologists. Like, it's not just some rando. You know, I would never advocate random use.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there are inherent risks to taking some of these things.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, if you're an adult, I think you can make and navigate some of those risks on your own. And there are ways to mitigate that risk.
Yeah.
So I think if you do it wisely, I think I'm not, you know, this might be an interesting path to go down, but
yeah.
The different traditions, mainly indigenous communities that use psychedelics in their religious practice, they mm-hmm. have a structure around it,
yeah.
which gives it the clarity of use, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just indiscriminate. I'm going to go party on Friday night and eat an eighth of mushrooms. That's not how they're thinking of it. They're thinking of it within the context of a sacred space, of a event, the tribe gets together, we're doing some sort of activity. It's once a year, maybe it's twice a year, but there's a setting. There are all of these things that are put in place in the cultural background of the use of these substances that I think in the West, especially in modern Western culture, we don't have that same tradition. This is where religious traditions come into play.
Yeah.
And because that hasn't necessarily been a part of the Christian tradition, as far as I understand,
mm-hmm.
It's something that, one, I'm wary of, because yeah. I believe we need to pull from the tradition. I think there might be some scriptural prohibitions, potentially. And like, so I'm being honest about, you know, I'm wary on some level, but there's another part of me that's very...
Do you have any... Where may some of the scriptural prohibitions be?
Sure. I think Ephesians talks about... I think it's Ephesians. You know, there's this great text...
I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, it's fine.
I think you're wrong, so...
You know, there's a... I think Ephesians talks about, you know, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There are some other texts in 1 Peter talking about being sober-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this through line in the New Testament that kind of talks about being... not altering your consciousness.
Right.
Using, I think,
because alcohol. Ideally,
it's mediated by the spirit.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Which has happened to
countless people through the generations. People.
So, that leads me to my next question of why do the benefits outweigh the sure. risks of using psychedelics?
Yeah.
As a part of the religious experience, mm-hmm. in particular Christianity.
So I think, again, I'm navigating this question right now. I think it's a live question in my own.
Yeah, we're exploring.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, You know, I think so. Let me back up again.
Sure.
So there's been this interesting trend of me finding people, mainly people that don't have a religious tradition or don't have a faith tradition,
mm-hmm.
That use some of these compounds. And, you know, psilocybin in particular is probably the most widely used, which is magic mushrooms. And they're using it at end-of-life care. So people that are dying of terminal cancer. Mm-hmm. And it actually helps them die better.
Mm.
Right, yeah. So... And it's because they're able to go through these profound shifts in their own psyche. And so my whole thing is, and it's something I've wondered very seriously, there are just some people I've met that are atheists, not because they don't want to believe in God. Like, legitimately, they want to believe in God. But they just don't have the experience. Right. Or they just, and this is where I get into this whole idea of potentially there are certain people that are just hardwired away from those experiences. I mean, this might go back to some sort of evolutionary thing of our ancestors.
The like, elect.
And this is where this is where it gets in with the elect, right?
So, okay. All right. Well, explain the elect. So for yeah. The so listeners. I was kind of joking, but
no. But this is actually gets into some of my thoughts around this.
Now I really am going to think you're wrong, though.
I personally don't believe in election in the Calvinistic sense that God pre. So
explain that.
Yeah. So there's an idea, certain Christian tradition that believes God chose before the foundation of the world to save some people and send them to heaven and damn other people. That's mm-hmm. double predestination. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that personally.
No.
And so it removes free will. I believe in free will, so I believe everyone has the ability to freely choose.
Sure.
I have to have that belief. I'm not deterministic. Although I think if you're... Never mind, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail.
Well, yeah. Well.
But, so if you're... If there are certain people that maybe are biologically hardwired against some of those experiences because of their ancestry, and they take a psychedelic and they have a transcendent experience of the divine, and that moves them into a place of God
mm-hmm.
and religion,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't we advocate that? And so that gets, so it gets me into this weird place.
Yeah. Especially from a Christian perspective, if that helps people get to God.
And I think ideally we want to get to God through the Spirit of God, right? We don't want to have a mediator,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not opposed to it. Like we use these different, we use fasting,
mm-hmm.
we use prayer.
And I mean, if you think of everything as God's creation,
God's tools,
then it's a mediator, but it's still
sure. Is it a piece of religious technology?
Yeah.
That we then use to maybe scaffold our way to the divine?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. I mean, there's some interesting people that think potentially a lot of the Old Testament stuff is actually connected to some form of psychedelic drug use.
Sure.
I don't think that's very credible.
No.
But I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. Because you have people talking about having visions.
Mm-hmm.
You read the prophets and all of a sudden, like a wheel inside a wheel inside a wheel.
Mm-hmm. You wonder.
And I have to think, like, what's happening in that dude's head? I guess I'm interested because it's a potential avenue for people that maybe aren't prone to those types of experiences to have a mediated encounter with the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to rob people of that because I feel...
So this transcendent experience mm-hmm. is something that in a way we all long for, even absolutely. Atheists, right?
Absolutely.
We all want to connect to something. But I have a lot of good friends who don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to. They don't really have any interest in believing in God. And so everything you just said, your point makes sense. What does this offer? What does psychedelic drugs, say they still used in the context that you're saying, mm-hmm. that you're discussing? They didn't just go out and just... do it in a really in a way that doesn't make sense. I mean, you see what I'm getting at here. Is there a place for them in find this transcendent experience
mm-hmm.
while they use, if they still don't come to Christ, which is your ideal, but they feel they've connected with something greater, they just have a different idea of what that is?
Mm-hmm. I would say they're on a journey.
Okay.
So I might say something that might make some people angry.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they think you maybe little? Maybe no. Maybe they'll think I'm wrong. I think the gospel is a lot wider and more inclusive of people than we really realize in the church.
Mm.
And I look at people having, in the New Age community, having experiences that I believe they're legitimately having these experiences. And I think they're on a journey. They're longing for something. Maybe your friends, they take some of these things, they have these experiences, it doesn't lead them to Jesus. But at least when I'm thinking about what a transcendent experience is and when you put it in context, it's the grammar we use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are ineffable experiences that all of a sudden the language breaks down.
Right. So can we classify a religious experience as something that's not, like, you know, inherently religious in the 21st century?
Sure. I mean, context. when I had an experience when, I mean, for instance, I was in a moment of prayer, you know, meditation. You might call it meditation. And deep, maybe just connection to God, and everything receded into the background. And I felt fully connected. I mean, it was a strange feeling because it's like you feel connected to everything.
Yeah.
Which really sounds weird. And I was lost. I lost track of time. There was no time.
Right.
I mean, that is really, it was very bizarre when you start describing it that way. But the grammar, right? So I want to get back to this idea of the grammar we use. And that's what I think religion is to some degree when we're talking mm-hmm. about these types of experiences. Mm-hmm. It's the religious grammar we use to describe what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ideally, like, I want people to meet Jesus and have these experiences via the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But I trust the Holy Spirit. This is the thing. I think God's really big, and I think God loves people more than I like them and love them. Mm-hmm. I think God really wants people to know him. And I think God will use any and every experience we have, whether or not it fits our preconceived box of what is appropriate, to lead us to himself. And potentially psychedelics are a stepping stone into that place. I know we really didn't get into any firm answer on whether or not we should use psychedelics in a Christian context, but I think we need to first come to terms with whether or not we can use these compounds and use these substances in therapeutic settings and be okay with that in a medicalized
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can start having the conversation of, well, hey, maybe like a small dose of something
right.
that expands your consciousness and fires different neurons in your brain and opens up different synapses. Potentially that might be something we can all engage in.
So as we wrap up,
mm-hmm.
if this is something that down the road, we all do engage in, or at least those who are religious believers.
Mm-hmm.
For the context of this question, because it's such a big one, we'll just say Christians.
Sure.
Let's say this becomes a mainline practice in Christianity. What would it look like?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think it's something that should or would be sacramentalized.
Right.
Right. I think if anything, I think where we're potentially going is a deeper awareness of the way that God has created certain plants and animals and different things that,
Right.
That we're all made good and that we can use to better ourselves. And I think these experiences, not only in the spiritual context, but in just the human context, can actually really benefit us psychologically. I mean, there's this thing, there's so many benefits. This is where I think I run into a lot of problems and with my own trepidation religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I think the benefits really outweigh some of the, maybe the dangers that I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know what that might look like in a widespread context. I don't know if it'll ever be widespread, to be quite honest with you.
Sure. Yeah, that I do have to say I think you're wrong about right now. I'm not sure the world is ready, but I mean, it's a fascinating idea.
It is.
And something that I'm glad we teased out. So Jake, last word. What do you have to say about, as we wrap up, psychedelics and the religious experience and what they have to offer the world?
Yeah. Well, I think everyone, if you're looking for a deeply personal experience, I think there are many modes to that experience, whether that's meditation, prayer. I mean, shoot, I've had experiences at concerts when everyone starts singing in unison. Mm-hmm. And we just all feel really connected. And we've all had, to varying degrees, these moments of deep connection with the human experience, a deep connection with other humans. I think we need to seek out more and more experiences with one another. And potentially one of those avenues might be taking a psychedelic. But it also might just be spending time with a good friend and having a conversation.
Sure.
And being close. And sure, experiencing the divine in that.
Mm-hmm. So. Great. Well, this has been I Think You're Wrong. Thanks for the discussion, Jake.
Absolutely. It was a great time.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of I Think You're Wrong. If you would like to contribute to the conversation, follow us on Facebook or Instagram at I Think You're Wrong Pod.